Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the 8-Bit Adventures Podcast. This is episode 265. I am your host, Sean Hayes, and this week we went right from one spoiler cast to another. Our deep dive this week is going to be a review of the Rescue Rangers movie. This is something I've been dreading. We'll talk more about that in a bit. So if you haven't seen it and you are worried about spoilers, I will give an indication as to when we are going into that segment. Otherwise, we got a whole bunch of different news this week. Some gaming news, some pop culture news, some other news. Hope everyone's been doing well. And before we begin, I didn't have it in the news this week, but I just wanted to wish the design team, and in particular, my dear friend, Jonea Kemper, a congratulations for winning. Let me just double check the name of the award. I think it's a Nebula. Hang on. I think it's a Nebula award. It's a tabletop, RPG award. Hang on. Sorry. I gotta try and find. Yes. So a Nebula Award for game writing, for the, writing team of Thirsty Sword Lesbians. And my dear friend Jonea Kemper was a member of that team. Congratulations on your Nebula Award. It's very exciting. From what I understand, it's a great, sort of smaller scale RPG, particularly for those who are looking for something, less dense than a game, perhaps like White Wolf or Dungeons and Dragons, much more on the lighter side. Again, congratulations. Those you can pick up at your local game store. They should be in stock. I know our local game store does have copies of it. Trying to put a whole bunch of positive news this week to counteract some of the stuff that's happening in the real world. Things aren't great out in the real world this week. So, trying to put a little bit of light out there to help everybody keep going. So, why don't we get into the rest of this week's news, as far as topics that I actually have slides for. Here we go. All right, so first up, we got an official trailer. Another trailer for Thor: Love and Thunder shows a lot more of Natalie Portman as Jane Foster taking up the mantle of Thor, complete with a reconstituted Mjolnir. And we also got a bunch of looks at Gore the God Butcher, who is going to be the villain, played by Christian Bale. Big Marvel villain. I don't quite know what this means for the future of Thor. We'll have to see. I mean, my hope is, I think the direction that they've taken Thor since Ragnarok is a much more interesting take than like prior to that. And I don't know. My concern is that this may be a movie in which, like, we give a send off of Chris Hemsworth from the MCU, as a way to essentially like you know, close out his contracts. I don't know. My personal hope would be that's not the case. But I mean, that said, if it means we get more Natalie Portman as Thor, I mean, I'm not going to complain. And just, it's another movie with Korg. So I'm all on board for that. But yeah. So Gore the God Butcher, definitely some thoughts about that. Christian Bale, of course, nailing, just being the weird, creepy goth villain. And it seems like once again, at least on the surface, providing, you know, a little bit more, I hate to say nuance, because like, I'm sure it's still going to be a sort of, you know, ham-fisted, sort of surface level villain. But I could be wrong. I mean, it's just, on the surface, it seems like Gore's motive for going after gods is that gods are kind of terrible and self-centered and egotistical and just like super powered, self-centered people. But just, you know, taking a little far, and that like, and that's why they deserve to die. So like, it's almost a kind of, JRPG, but in reverse, where the bad guy's the protagonist, the protagonist is usually like, who are the bad guys in JRPGs? So yeah, I can't wait. I'm looking forward to the, this is going to be a fun movie to do a spoiler cast for. So I'll have to see if I can get a guest on for that one. So, all right, next up, Star Doin' Chill, new album, dropped by DJ Cutman and Coffee Date. For those who watch my art stream, very familiar with, those two artists, remix artists, as a lot of the music that I play in that stream, are from the two of them. They've released a new lo-fi remix album, that features some of Stardew Valley's best loved music tracks. So that's available right now. Here's the best part is, as long as you provide credit and links, it's content safe, provided by GameChops. The full album's up on YouTube. It's also on Spotify, Apple Music, probably out like Amazon Music maybe. Go check that out, especially if you're a Stardew Valley fan. It's quite good. And like, it's a great group of, you know, GameChops is a great group of music label for music artists. It's definitely worth supporting. So next up, the Game Workers Alliance. The QA Workers Union at Raven Software has formally won their vote to unionize, making them the second formal union in U.S. video game history. So this union was formed in partnership with the Communication Workers of America. What's funny is even after successfully voting, Activision Blizzard continues to maintain anti-unionization messaging and pushing that in their emails and communications to the company. So sneaking in a little Activision Blizzard dig there. This is great news. And this is my hope is this starts to we start to see this more and more. Especially perhaps at a certain Redmond, Washington based North American division of a certain Japanese video game developer and publisher, particularly for the contract workers. You know, unionization only helps workers. I say this as someone who kind of realized the other day, and in my current position, cannot join one. So remember, folks, someone who cannot join a union telling you that unionization is actually good for workers and that they should do it. Someone that like would normally should be opposed to it. So yeah, there's a little bit of irony in that one. Cause I'm a manager. So, and management can't join unions. So, all right. So yeah, congratulations to, the Game Workers Alliance, and that department at Raven Software. Who knows? I don't know if those unions are company specific, or if, workers from other branches at Activision Blizzard would be able to join that union. Not entirely sure, since it's a little different than like how Hollywood works, where essentially everybody's a contractor. Yeah. At the very least, if it might spark other unions to pop up elsewhere. If it can't just be like one big union. So, all right, next up, Multiverses. This is wild, folks. So Warner Brothers has released a Smash Brothers like brawler. There's a lot of elements very clearly inspired by Super Smash Brothers and is sort of the Smash franchise. But I think also putting its unique own spin on things. It's the lineup. The cast lineup is wild. So featuring, for those who are watching the people in the thumbnail include Finn and Jake from Adventure Time, Arya Stark from Game of Thrones, Steven Universe and Garnet from Steven Universe, Bugs Bunny, Tom and Jerry, Wonder Woman, Batman, Superman, Shaggy, Velma. the list is wild. It also includes like the Iron Giant. I saw some gameplay. Gameplay looks pretty neat, looks pretty interesting. It looks like this is coming to all platforms except for Switch, probably for obvious reasons. One of the interesting things is like as the match goes on, so like the boundaries of the playing area get smaller and smaller, and as it zooms in, it's like TV static on the outside edges of it, which I think is like a neat little effect, and that it's also a way to ensure that like matches just don't keep dragging out, and that like as time goes on, it's kind of doing it in a little bit of sudden death, to ensure that playing becomes riskier and riskier. Because obviously the distance to get knocked out is shorter and shorter. One thing they included is Shaggy. One of his specials is like to go Ultra Instinct, and he does like a Dragon Ball style powering up, and that when he does it, like when he fully powers up, he can then like fly around and shoot energy blasts and do powered up moves and stuff for a limited time. So the fact that they actually like not only did this game with a very weird game, but included Ultra Instinct Shaggy is, I think that's great. And like, will it be as big as Smash Brothers? Probably not. My hope is that this, at least becomes really successful. Like I hope this becomes way more successful than the other Smash inspired games are, which is not to say that like I want to see them fail, but it feels like there hasn't been a whole lot of success. Like the Nickelodeon one kind of came and went. The PlayStation one, like nobody really talks about. My hope is this, that this becomes, at least finds its niche and grows, you know, a bit, even if it found some fraction of the success that Smash has, you know. And I think one of the things is they did a good job. Like, so one of the things that they talk about with Smash Brothers is how they somehow managed to make the art styles fit together with all the different characters and make it feel cohesive. And I think they did a good job with this. So obviously some of the characters had to be a little bit more stylized. And I think that's to the benefit of this. I mean, it also helps that like all but one character came from animated TV series. That sort of all can have like similar styles. But yeah, oh, it's just like to watch. Oh, Harley Quinn is one of the other characters. I'm trying to think if I'm missing anybody else. There's like a game specific character that's like Rain Dog or something. But yeah, to watch like Ultra Instinct Shaggy go up against Bugs Bunny is versus Arya Stark is quite the weird sort of thing going on. Or to watch, you know, Superman team up with the Iron Giant. That was in the trailer, and that was a really heartwarming moment for a lot of fans to see that. So yeah, that's out now, I believe. So I believe it's on Steam, PlayStation, and Xbox. So yeah. Hopefully again people continue to play this. You know, I might even, you know, if it is on Steam, or it might be on Xbox, like for PC or something. But either way, you know, this might be something that, if there's enough interest in it and the roster looks pretty interesting, I might just pick up just for funsies. So next up, Electronic Arts. The longtime winner of America's Most Hated Company, the game developer and publisher, has been seeking mergers with NBC Universal, Disney, Apple, Amazon. For some reason, they just want to be bought out. And this, you know, this smacks of executives seeing that they have some sort of cash cow that like they could just sell it to somebody else, and looking at somebody who's hungry to consolidate more power, and, you know, get their golden parachutes and cash out and then be set for like the next three lifetimes. Turns out nobody so far has wanted them. Like, I guess the NBC Universal deal was like the closest to success. And then due to both the valuation from Electronic Arts, as well as some stipulations they have about leadership that would remain in place, the deal fell through. And it seems like, according to industry insiders, that this desire has only picked up in light of the Microsoft Activision Blizzard deal. I don't know. It seems they're just really hungry to just take somebody's money. So yeah. And apparently, yeah, Disney, Apple, Amazon, just not interested. So yeah, I don't know. Who knows? Maybe Electronic Arts is enough of a name that has a negative stigma that nobody wants to touch them. That can only be everyone's hope. So that is a place where I think workers should start considering unionization. All right. Last up, Dungeons and Dragons news. So unfortunately, due to supply chain issues, Journeys Through the Radiant Citadel and their campaign Case of Terrain have both been delayed. Journeys Through the Radiant Citadel has been delayed until July 5th. I believe it was supposed to come out next month. And the campaign Case has been delayed until August 16th. So they are still coming. It's just, it seems like there are production issues with getting the stuff printed. So this is still an issue that's going on. Despite what people think, we are still not out of a pandemic yet. And there are still places that are having issues with either lockdowns or getting materials. Unfortunately, those two pieces have been delayed. I remember seeing the announcement for the campaign case. But, like, I don't remember if the train is just, like, tiles. Yeah, so it just looks like tiles. Adventure clings. So like reusable stickers to put down there. So there you go. That does give a little bit more time to kind of digest stuff that's coming out before Journeys Through the Radiant Citadel releases. Rest assured, when that book comes out, we will be discussing it here. So that is going to wrap up the news for this week. So we are going to go into our deep dive, which is going to be reviewing Rescue Rangers, which is the movie, not the TV series from the 90s, the movie. So if you haven't seen it and you don't want to be spoiled, this is your warning. Come back, give it a listen after you watch it. If you have no intention of watching it and don't care about spoilers or whatever, feel free to listen. But you have been warned. So here we go in 3, 2, 1. Okay. So, I was definitely nervous. I was a little skeptical about seeing this film. I'm going to get that right off the bat. I'm still quite unsure about the casting for Chip and Dale. It gets even weirder knowing that they also brought back a bunch of the original voice actors. There is some odd choices. Let's look up the here we go. Behind the voice actors. They got Tress MacNeille. So Gadget is in the film. They got Tress MacNeille, who was the original voice actress. Dennis Haysbert, you might know him as the Allstate guy. He voices Zipper. That was weird. I'm sorry. Like, it's one of those things where, because Dennis Haysbert has done so much with Allstate, it's really hard to hear his voice and just not immediately go there. So that was distracting for me. I think a bunch of the other voice cast was great. I'm trying to think of were there any other notable ones? Jim Cummings voiced a whole bunch of stuff. They got Charles Fleischer for a sort of cameo from Roger Rabbit. Sadly, obviously, Jerry Orbach, they had Lumiere appear in a few scenes. Can't get Jerry Orbach. He has passed away. They had Jeff Bennett. But otherwise, yeah, like they I think they did a great job with like a bunch of the other cast. You know, and it's like they had a cameo from Scrooge McDuck, they got David Tennant, you know. So it's like you know, Alan Oppenheimer for He-Man and Skeletor. Like they like obviously they went to you know, fairly decent lengths to get sort of original voice actors for like a whole bunch of other characters in the film. And I don't know. I feel like they should have probably had just like gone with the original, especially since at some point, like at various points in the film, Chip and Dale go into those original voices. So yeah, it was a little distracting having John Mulaney and Andy Samberg voice the two main characters. Not a fan of Dale's 3D look. You know, the other characters, sort of this like slightly 3D-ish, but still capturing their 2D look, I really liked. And I think a lot of the blending animation and live action worked out really well in this film, I feel like. You know, so in terms of like that technical aspect, actually felt like a really nice continuation from what we saw in like Who Framed Roger Rabbit. And when I, in this review, we're going to do a lot of comparison with Roger Rabbit because like, it's got a blend of live action and animation, like heavily live action animation. And there's a lot of comparisons to draw between it. Like it's, you know, cartoon characters interacting with, you know, quote unquote real people, as a matter of day-to-day stuff. The fact that like cartoons are made by casting toon characters, and in essentially movie productions, right? There's some sort of like crime plot, and you know, it kind of deals with like some of the ins and outs of the animation industry. Unfortunately, I feel like this was almost like a, like the Rescue Ranger aspect, like was secondary, right? Despite the film being called Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers, you could have actually swapped in pretty much like any group of characters, and pretty much had done the same story. So that I think that weakens the I guess the meshing of the brand and the plot. Cause like if you could have done this with any group of characters that just like had a show that got canceled, like why specifically do it Rescue Rangers? So that's one thing I have. You know, I think, compared to Roger Rabbit, it's a much more straightforward storyline. You know, I think, you know, at one point they do, like there's, you know, there's clues that point to, one character betraying them. And, you know, there's kind of like a disagreement over like who the specific character that's betraying them is, you know, whether it's Ellie or the chief. And it's like, you know, the chief's a cliche, like, but like all the clues fit to pointing to Ellie. And then it actually turns out to be the chief because like, it's a trope for a reason. And like, they just want to lean into that trope. Like, and it's actually called out in the movie for that. But at the same time, it was like, well, okay, well, yeah, you could see this coming a mile away. You know, as compared to you know, Roger Rabbit, I feel like, had a lot more breadcrumbs being laid out through the course of the film that eventually they pay off right at the very end. So like this one, like, it's not really much of a mystery either. Like, so the plot of the story is, essentially one night, you know, at long after the show's been canceled and Chip and, you know, and the Rescue Rangers have gone their separate ways, you know, are all doing their own things. You know, they don't really talk to each other. Especially like Chip and Dale had a falling out. Both Chip and Dale get a call from Monty, that he's in trouble. You know, basically he, for whatever reason, like really, stinky cheese is like some sort of contraband for some reason. Like they don't really explain why, but it's like, you can just buy that stuff at the grocery store. Like, why is it contraband? You know, it would have been great to have some sort of explanation for that. Like, why is it contraband? As opposed to just like, oh, well, you know, like it could have easily have been that it's not contraband and it's just Monty just really likes cheese to the point that like he can't afford it and he's just spending too much money on it. But anyway, so essentially he also unclear, like he must have borrowed money from, what's known as the Valley Gang, which is organized crime cartel, operating out of the Uncanny Valley, and can't pay him back. So he gets kidnapped. And so, like very early on in the film, like they just go there, like they just start asking around and they just go there and they meet, essentially Peter Pan, who is the villain, you know, cause basically Peter Pan started growing up, got cast aside, you know, nobody wants a Peter Pan that grew up, except that was the whole point of Hook. So, you know, I don't know about that. But you know, got mad and has decided he's going to use his organized crime empire to then like blackmail and kidnap other cartoons to then make bootleg films. and so that's what happened. You know, Monty gets kidnapped and he's going to be made into, he's going to be repurposed and sort of redesigned to fit into bootleg movies. And then basically they get caught. They get away. They try and enlist the help of the police. And someone at the police department's a crooked cop. So Sweet Pete, you know, Peter Pan, is able to also get there and try and recapture them at every turn. But like, that's it. Like that's the plot, you know, and compared to like, they could have gone more, like more into an actual sort of detective like mystery, like they did with Roger Rabbit, where you have several layers going on of, and it's almost like an A story, B story, like within a movie. Right. So you have this like very personal problem going on with Roger and, you know, this theorized problem going on between Roger and Jessica, which then implicates, which then leads to like the murder of Marvin Acme, which is why, you know, Roger gets pinned for it. That then leads into this thing involving like the purchase and sale of Toontown. Or like this interest in Toontown by RK Maroon, which then there's also, Judge Doom and his Weasel Gang who are, basically inflicting this very, very draconian style of justice on Toons in particular. And, you know, in the background, there's also things happening with like you know, you see Cloverleaf like buying the cable car company. And then at the very end, you learn that like it's, you know, Judge Doom is essentially the sole stockholder of Cloverleaf. He bought the cable car company to shut that down. He's looking to buy Toontown to basically like bulldoze that all and turn it into a freeway to then set up gas stations and stuff to make essentially make him money. And, you know, incidentally, like becoming a very harsh and fort like judge, jury and executioner of justice, quote unquote, to Toons just is to fill his need for essentially being a serial killer. And it's like they're like there's threads being woven throughout the film, and it's you are following Eddie Valiant on this way of like piecing the clues together until it all comes out at the very end. And I think like that's what a good mystery is. And that like when you go back and rewatch it, you're like, oh, yeah, you can pick the bits and pieces of where things like are first introduced. And in this film, like they just give you the plot. Like in the first, well, they do a whole bunch of exposition as to like how Chip and Dale met. And it, like, I don't know, stuff that I felt like was kind of unnecessary. And like they pretty much just, yeah, gave away the plot in like the first act. I don't know. I don't know. I feel like it might have been more interesting. Like I get that they wanted to basically like have this be a tie-in with Who Framed Roger Rabbit from that angle. And I can appreciate that. I guess, like, I don't know if they just, like, had leaned into that more. Instead of, like, I don't know, trying to, like, recreate it, but just not doing it as well. Yeah, I don't know. So, yeah. I mean, this is basically... Unfortunately, this is, I would say, a film, you know, watch it once. Like, it's not terrible. Like, there were moments, there was fun moments in it. But, like, it's not a very complex film. I don't think it's groundbreaking. You know, I think just, I think the animation effects are really great. You know, and a lot of the cameos are really great. Outside of that, I mean, there's not really much going for it. I mean, it's sad when, like, the big thing that they're talking about with this film is that they put Ugly Sonic in the film. And, like, he kind of becomes, like, a sort of pivotal cameo in it. And, like, I mean, when the thing that gets talked about for your film is, like, the inclusion of a meme character, that is not even a Disney-related character. I don't know. that was another... is like, the fact... they got a whole slew of characters. So, like, obviously, a lot of licensing fees paid for this film. Some of the characters that we get are... we get Ugly Sonic. We get Roger Rabbit. We get Baloo. But like as a CG version of Baloo, we get Lumiere, we get Tigra from Thundercats. I think from Thundercats. You see the Chipmunks. There's E.T., Flounder, Batman. We get Scrooge McDuck. We get one of the Lost Boys, Pumbaa. So we get Pumbaa, Mantis, Bob, as like this like really weird, like, oh, here's all the characters that you've seen that are voiced by Seth Rogen, and they're all going to do the laugh at the same time. And it was like, I don't know. It felt like a cheap gag. We got He-Man and Skeletor. We get sort of off-brand versions of Pooh and Tigger, as well as Bart and Homer Simpson. We get Pete. We get Darkwing Duck. We get Professor Nimnol. We get Linda Flynn Fletcher, who's Phineas and Ferb's mom. We get basically all of the My Little Ponies. We get Randy Marsh. That's such a weird thing. That in a film where, as cameo bits, you get both Doc McStuffins and Stan's dad. In a Disney film. Like, to get a South Park character in a Disney film feels really weird, people. We get Zummy Gummy. Like, a lot of the cameos were weird. We get a Wreck-It Ralph reference. And Duncan and Winchell, which I think are also from Wreck-It Ralph. So yeah, there's a lot going on. So I don't know. I almost kind of wish, I guess I wish that they would have pulled back less on the just like, hey, we worked together 30 years ago and we had a falling out, and more on just like actual plot development. So yeah, I don't know. And maybe if they were actually I don't know. I guess if maybe Ellie, if they were trying to make a Roger Rabbit movie, I don't know. Why not, have, instead of having Ellie be this member of the police force who is looked down upon and everything, because the chief sabotages all of her missions intentionally. Because, she's often assigned to go after Peter Pan's, operations. Why not just have her be a private detective and have her be, Eddie Valiant's granddaughter or something, or a great granddaughter or something like that, or something, or just, maybe it's just she works at that. If they were going to do that, why not tie it in further? Why go through the trouble of putting Roger Rabbit in your film and, not kind of putting more threads in there and doing, a film more in that style. Especially since the whole point of Rescue Rangers was they were private detectives. So I don't know. And it's also like they don't get their outfits until two-thirds of the way through the film. And I guess Dale's already wearing his outfit. But it was a nice nod of that they run through an Indiana Jones booth, and that's where Chip gets his clothing. So yeah. I don't know. It was also Gadget and Zipper having a relationship seemed a bit weird. There are some you can make them cute because they're cartoons, but a mouse fly hybrid is Like that's the kind of stuff that my buddy Driz finds a lot of on his like Eldritch horror searchings on the internet. Yeah. So yeah, I don't know. It's just like there was a lot of weird extraneous stuff that like didn't really add anything to the film. And just kind of made it like generic of like, yeah, we were a thing, you know, back in the day. And then like we had a falling out, show got canceled. This is where we are now. I mean, it almost like here's another comparison, like to compare it to The Incredibles. Kind of has a similar vibe, but like again, like The Incredibles didn't give away the story in the first act. Like in that one, you know, even though like the I guess initial feeling that causes the motivation, you know, or that causes the actions of the villain were very similar between The Incredibles and this film. Like the fact that you don't find out in The Incredibles that it's Buddy until a fair bit into the film, you know, was a nice like twist. So yeah. I don't know. Like, I also think that they could, like, I don't know. I think it might have been, you know, more interesting, like, if they had Fat Cat end up as, like an actual mobster in real life, sort of a thing. You know, like, maybe, like, actually tie in the show more. Because, like, a lot of it's just surface level of, like, hey, remember this thing? And, like, of essentially an actor trying to cling to, I guess the one, and like trying to revive a project they worked on a long time ago. Whereas like nobody else is really interested in it. Sort of like they miss it, but like everyone else kind of moved on. I don't know. Also very similar to the Darkwing Duck initial episodes in the new DuckTales series. Sort of a similar thing, which is, it, you know, funny because it's Jim Cummings voiced that version of Darkwing Duck in the DuckTales series. So. Yeah. I don't know. I would say, like, it was fun to watch once. But, you know, like, for the cameos and to see the technical stuff going on, I don't know if you need to watch it a second time. Like, I don't know if I'm going to watch it again. And ultimately, it was better than I anticipated. But I still think I was disappointed. So, and I kind of like, I didn't really know what to expect from the film either. So like, it's not a case where like, I really had high expectations going in. I think there's stuff that could have been done to improve the film. So. But also like, It's the fact that you could have removed the whole Rescue Rangers angle, swapped in another group of characters, like, from the Disney afternoon, and you could have made the same film, basically. Like, this could have been, like, DuckTales. This could have been Tailspin. This could have been Scooby-Doo. Like, any cartoon you have where they solved mysteries, which is a lot of them, folks, you could have swapped those in and nothing would have changed. Like, you could have done Scooby-Doo and had it be that, like, the gang split up, and it's Shaggy reaches out, that, you know, because, you know, and say, like, that, you know, or even have it be Scooby, you know, they call people, they reach out, you know, they got a problem with Scooby snacks and they borrow too much money, can't pay them back, and they get captured to be bootlegs. And so now there's a mystery afoot, gang. Same film. Like, the exact same film. There you go. So congratulations. I've just palette swapped Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers to be Scooby-Doo. With minimal effort. You know, maybe have it be, like, Fred and Daphne are the main characters. And then, you know, standing in for Gadget, you have, Velma. So, yeah, I don't know. Yeah, and otherwise, you wouldn't have to change any of the other characters in the film. So, that's where I'm like, that's what's getting me, is that the fact that it was the Rescue Rangers didn't matter at all for the story. And I think that's a problem. Because, like, if that's the case, then why? So yeah, so that's my review, is that if you're a Rescue Rangers fan, you know, watch it once, go in with low expectations, but just, I wish, like, the sort of, the 2D look, but sort of 2.5D model looks really nice. Much better than the sort of furry CGI look for Dale, who is just haunting. Like, it's really terrible. Yeah, no, it's bad. But, like, it's meant to be poked fun at. And just, you know, if you like memes, watch it for Ugly Sonic, I guess. So there you go. That's my review. I don't know, if I'd have to give it a rating, jeez, I'd say like 2 out of 5 pie cakes. Going back to pie cakes here. Yeah. I don't know what it's rated on Rotten Tomatoes. Now I'm curious to see. What? There is no way. 82% audience score and tomato meter. That shocks me. Wow. Okay, I guess, I don't know, maybe I'm wrong, but, yeah, I was not expecting that. So I don't know, maybe other folks, have a better opinion of it than I do. I think, again, the big issue for me is, like, including the Rescue Rangers doesn't matter for the film. You could swap in any other cast of characters and have the same story, and it would basically be the same thing. And, like, rather than if you're going to do a Rescue Rangers film, like, make it the fact that it's the Rescue Rangers matter to the film. So. But, I guess, what do I know? Apparently, wow, I did not expect to be that different of an opinion, so. All right. We are all set with that. So let's do a quest log. Uh, All right, so I said last week I was going to paginate chapter one. I did it. All 100 comics have been placed in the book. And I did get to play a little bit of triangle strategy. It was mostly just sort of non-story grinding. Kind of work on, I have a bunch of like extra characters that I picked up. So just trying to get them leveled up, get them equipped and stuff. Which is also like, you know, I'm still not 100%. And just with a lot of stuff that's been happening, just at times don't really have the energy to like put a lot of thought into playing games. So like a lot of very, you know, hardcore strategy action or RPG type stuff, like I just don't have it in me. So like being able to just do like little tactical battles of like not even have to choose like different characters each time. It's just here's your characters. It's pretty much like the same setup each time. And just doing this sort of over and over again to just grind like a couple materials, to then outfit them, has been nice. Just like nice, easygoing type stuff. So this week, Monster Hunter Rise, trying to get everything all set for Sunbreak, at the end of June. So getting back in, I did a whole bunch of stuff. I've got basically what is likely to be my end game gear all set. You just need like a proper talisman that gives me the right set of skills and skill slots. And just working on my hunter rank. So like it took me like one or two missions after not playing for quite some time to kind of get back into the swing of things and the controls and stuff. And like Monster Hunter is kind of the exception for like not being able to put a lot of thought and focus into a game. You know, when I'm not feeling well, because it's one of those comfort games that I have. And for the most part, playing multiplayer with just rando people has been pretty good. There was one or two missions where like we were just failing hardcore all the time. And I was like, I'm going to stop and I'm going to come back to it later. And I did manage to get it done. It was mostly like trying to go after one target and people deciding like, nope, we're going after another one. And, you know, in retrospect, should have pulled off and moved on to the target that they were going for. You know, had I done that, we wouldn't have failed, but you live and learn. So that's for this week. Also going to work on a character page for the book. So the goal is not necessarily to finish it, but just, you know, maybe to like start getting a layout worked, maybe like what the actual character portraits are going to be. And like a little blurb. So the idea is like at the start of the book, you open this up and it'll show you basically all of the main characters that appear in that chapter. This is something that Fables does, or did rather during its run, where they would show you like all the characters that appear in the book and just like a little intro about each of them. Just so that way, like you can see, you know, and just get a little, you know, preview of all the characters. So those are my goals. So that is going to wrap things up for this Rescue Rangers spoiler cast. Thank you all for joining me. It's always great to have you here. If you would like to see more content from 8-Bit Adventures, be sure to check out the website over at 8-bitadventures.com. If you would like to help support that content, which includes comics, podcasts, you know, sort of D&D homebrew work and things like that, you can become a patron over at patreon.com/8bitadventures. There is one Patreon. I do not do a separate Patreon for all of the projects. So any support that you give goes toward everything. So that is a difference that I have with some other creators. You can become a patron for as little as $1 a month, and you get early access to comics, patron exclusive comics, you know, behind the scenes content, all that great stuff. Big shout and thank you to all of my patrons. Thank you so much for your support. Our opening theme is One Up by Professor Shy Guy. You can find his stuff over at professorshyguy.bandcamp.com. And you know what? Just as another shout out, Stardew and Chill available. You can find that over at GameChops.com on their YouTube channel, GameChops, as well as where most music is streamed or sold. So go check out Stardew and Chill. And that is going to wrap things up for now. If you would like to come hang out and chat, there is a Discord server. I posted the link in chat. For podcast listeners, the link will also be in the show notes. So content gets regularly posted there. It's a much better place than on social media. You won't have to deal with algorithms deciding when you get to see stuff. It's just when it gets posted, it gets posted. And you get a notification for it. So I miss the days of when a timeline was actually chronological. So that's going to wrap everything up. Thank you all for joining me. Please, please continue to mask up and stay healthy if you can. And as always, have fun, happy gaming, and enjoy your pie cake.